Hey friends, welcome back to Ordinary People, Extraordinary Lives. My name is Lance Bain, and it's great to have you with me today on episode number 53 of our little podcast designed to help us experience the grace of God while living, leading, and overcoming those everyday challenges we face in life. I'm so happy you are with me today. We're going to be continuing our talk on avoiding the mud puddles of leadership. Today we're talking about constructive leadership, and you can find the show notes available at lancebain.com. You can click on the podcast link and then click on Ordinary People, Extraordinary Lives, and you'll see episode number 53. Click that and you'll find the show notes there. You can also find a downloadable PDF at the bottom of that page. There will be some bonus material in the show notes available for you. And if you're listening on your device, the show notes are available in your podcast description. So great to have you with me again today. Hope you're having an awesome day. I want to continue, as I said, talking about avoiding the mud puddles of leadership. And we're talking about constructive leadership. As we've said in the last several weeks, what do we mean by leadership? In our context, we define leadership as the development of culture and people through relationship with integrity. So for us, it is critical that people are growing and being developed in a multifaceted skills, character, and knowledge and understanding and application. And we want that to happen through relationships with integrity. Now, more broadly, John Maxwell describes leadership as influence. And we've been asking, influence for what purpose? Purpose is important because Jim Collins defines leadership as that which only exists if people follow when they would otherwise have the freedom to not follow. And he goes on in his book, Good to Great, to describe a level 5 leader is one who has a paradoxical blend of personal humility and unshakable will. And we find that Jesus is the perfect representation, the perfect incarnation of that personal humility and unshakable will. I would point you to, if you're a follower of Christ, to Philippians chapter 2, where we see the quintessential text for Jesus' humility. And I would also point you to his Garden of Gethsemane prayer when Jesus says, "Father, not my will be done, but your will be done." And so to have an unshakable will is not rooted in our strength of charisma or our pride or our carnality or our determination or our own will. To have an unshakable will is that which we have given to God, and then he has given back to us so that we exercise our will for a cause greater than our own lives. And that's why I think it's important when we think about John Maxwell's definition of leadership as influence. It's influence for what purpose? It needs to be for a purpose that is bigger than our own lives, for a cause that is bigger than our own lives. And so I believe this kind of leadership is so powerful. It has the ability to alter the trajectory of people's lives in a very powerful and healthy way. Loving, wise, healthy leadership has a profound ability to impact people, to influence people, to, as I said, alter the trajectory of their lives. So today, we're going to discuss the mud puddle of false harmony. How do we have constructive leadership? How do we have a leadership that manages conflict well so we don't have false harmony in our teams, in our organization, in our ministries, and in our small groups? Leadership is, that path of leadership is littered with mud puddles. And we've identified some of them through this podcast and particularly through this little series, Avoiding the Mud Puddles of Leadership. But Dave Kraft, in his book, Mistakes Leaders Make, which is really the underlying premise for this little series of talks, Dave Kraft mentions in his chapter 7 about false harmony, he says, constructive conflict is difficult but essential for healthy teams, I would add ministries, small groups, or organizations. Constructive conflict is difficult, but it is essential if we want healthy teams. I have found, particularly love Patrick Lencioni's work, 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, and much of his material, that trust is really the oxygen to the life of leadership. And we've got to have trust in our organization. Now, trust can be organizational, can be positional. That's what John Maxwell might describe level 1 in his 5 levels of leadership, that your first level is a positional level. that people follow you or allow you to have influence in their life simply because you've been given a title. Jim Collins, in his book, Good to Great, says that if we ever invoke personality, position, title, rank, or power as the only way to get things done, this is an abdication of leadership and it is a decision for control. And so trust is the oxygen to the life of a leadership team, a leadership organization, to a leader individually. Trust is the oxygen that we have to have in order to give great leadership, to experience the lifeblood of leadership. And we want that trust to be organizational and positional. But our hope is that we move past that level of trust as often as we can so that trust is more relational and experiential. Trust is more relational and experiential. It's relational in that we get to know the heart of one another. We get to know their character. We get to know what their integrity is like. We get to know the humility with which they lead. This is so critical to avoiding the mud puddle of leadership, because the mud puddle that we're trying to avoid is false harmony. And if we don't know how to do constructive conflict, what I would call brave communication, healthy confrontation, then we have false harmony. And if we have false harmony, then our only level of trust is simply that which is based upon our position. And we want to move past that as quickly as possible. Here are a couple of scriptures that I believe are so powerful when we think about our words and conflict and how we do this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, in the previous couple of verses, Paul, the writer of this letter to the church in Ephesus, says that we can't be tossed around like every wave that comes along tosses us around, and that these waves are false teachings and schemes and deceptions. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love. And so Paul is comparing here words that are meant to deceive, words that are meant to create schemes and construct deception. He lays that against what we read in verse 15, that our words are used in the construct of love that will help us actually grow to become in every way mature. And isn't that what we really want in our organizations and in our teams? We want healthy, mature organizations, ministries, small groups, leadership teams, and our words go a long way into building us into that mature organization. So we know how to do conflict well. We know how to champion and challenge each other. We know how to fight for clarity and support one another. We know how to work hard and do so with humility. We know how to be grateful. We know how to be assertive and when to correct and when to challenge. We know how to do all of that. And it's actually a very empowering culture. And it is a safe culture. But to do that, to get there, beloved, we have to know how to use our words in a way that allows us to do constructive conflict. And then just a few verses later in that same chapter, Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up." Listen to this, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow, that is such a convicting verse, because I recognize that oftentimes I speak to benefit myself. I talk to make me feel better. I talk to make me feel powerful. And what Paul is saying here is that we don't want to let unwholesome words come out of our mouths, but the only kind of talk we want to come out of our mouths is that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, beloved, according to their needs. So we've got to be really clear about what are the needs of other people, and can we help them meet those needs by using our words to do so? This is where constructive conflict is so, so powerful. So how do we speak the truth in love to not only benefit, really not benefit ourselves, but benefit other people? Well, how do we speak that truth in love? I want you to imagine, friends, that truth is water in a bottle. And love is the plastic bottle, and truth is the water inside of it. Most of the times, we want people to experience the water of truth before they experience the container of love. And what I'm wanting you to understand is that Paul says we need to speak the truth in love. And people need the truth. Truth is what liberates. Truth is what empowers. But we want to make sure that they're touching more accurately, more efficiently, more consistently the bottle of love. And that is our heart. That is our tone, our attitude, our words, our follow-through, our breakthrough, our commitments, our lifestyle is that love. And that is the bottle that contains the truth. And so without trust and without unity, we have artificial harmony. And therefore, conflict, misunderstanding, pride, hurtful words, unhealthy tones, dismissing of others, it erodes trust. It contaminates an environment so that unity and constructive conflict and empowerment and synergy is impossible. Productivity is diminished. Enjoyment in the workplace or in the ministry or in the small group is eroded. Laughter and pleasure decrease. And the oil of unity and enjoyment is missing. And so what we're trying to accomplish really feels like a grind. And we smell flesh burning more than we smell the oil of unity burning. And so to speak this truth in love, to help us more consistently experience unity and true harmony in our leadership, with our teams, with our organizations, we have to know how to do constructive conflict. And I've observed that we've learned conflict in four primary ways. Number one, we've learned conflict through our upbringing. We do conflict management based upon how we saw our parents do conflict, or our siblings do conflict, or teachers or coaches or others that we saw. So we've learned conflict through our upbringing, which has not always been helpful. Secondly, we've learned conflict through our wounding and our trauma. We've been hurt through conflict. And so we may not want to do conflict that way, but we know how to avoid that kind of conflict. So there's no healthy confrontation. There's no win-win conflict. There's no win-win confrontation. All there is war, where somebody's going to lose, somebody's going to be wounded. So we've learned conflict through our wounding and through our traumas. Number three, we've learned conflict through observation, not just in our upbringing, but as adults. We see how our boss manages conflict in a meeting. We see how our small group leader deals with conflict and deals with these sorts of issues. And so we've recognized that we've learned conflict simply by observing others, and we have not always observed healthy conflict and confrontation. It's not always been constructive. And so we experience the bitter taste of false harmony, but we never know how to move past that and actually find genuine, honest, powerful unity. Number four, we've learned conflict through learning, through proper and helpful training. And this is what I'm really after for us today, is that we can avoid the false harmony mud puddle of leadership. And in order to do that, we have to know how to do constructive conflict, brave communication in an effective win-win way, so that the relationships are actually strengthened, the organization, the small group, the ministry actually gets better. And when we don't know how to do that, when we don't know how to manage conflict well, we will avoid it altogether, or we will change the rules of the conflict. Will passive or aggressive in relationship styles through conflict. We may just simply abandon the relationship, leave the team, leave the small group, just avoid it altogether. Or we simply lie and resort to extreme measures to avoid conflict. When we are in this space, courage is so needed. Now, let me say, courage can often be found in our training and in our understanding. For example, if you perceive conflict as war, then you also perceive that great courage is going to be needed to have that kind of confrontation, to have that kind of conversation. If, for example, though, you see conflict as a win-win conversation, then courage is much easier because you believe going into the conversation that everyone is going to benefit. And that makes courage much easier. And that actually increases delight and pleasure in a conversation and confrontation rather than knowing someone is going to be wounded. Now, You can't always control how people are going to perceive your approach to confrontation. I'm simply encouraging you today to bring the best you, the best trained you possible to these kinds of moments so that you avoid the mud puddle of false harmony and you actually have real unity and real teamwork and real synergy. So you can't control if other people choose to be wounded, but you can control yourself so that you, with all the intentionality and training and love as possible, you do not wound other people. So how we perceive conflict has a profound influence upon what we believe we need for conflict. Now, I'm 48 years old. I'll be 49 next month. I did not learn good conflict resolution skills until my late 30s. And it's important that we learn how to manage our connections, to manage work relationships, small group relationships, ministry relationships, volunteer relationships. It is critical that we learn how to manage them, how to support them, how to lead well within them so that we can achieve win-win results while strengthening the best in each other. Now, I've done a series of podcasts on this issue in episodes number 15 through 18, and I talk about conflict and the beauty of human relationships, and I do a four-part series and take a little bit of a deeper dive into this, and you may consider listening to episodes 15, 16, 17, and 18 to learn more about how we manage the beauty of human relationships when conflict is present. So Dave Kraft in his book offers us a few suggestions for how we can grow in the area of conflict. And again, I would encourage you to check out episodes number 15 through 18 to learn more and to have a little deeper dive into this subject. But let me give you from Dave's book, Mistakes Leaders Make, Chapter 7 on False Harmony. Let me give you the few suggestions that Dave makes in his book about how to do constructive conflict well. Number one, make a commitment before the Lord to face and deal honestly, lovingly, sensitively, and decisively with conflict. One of my favorite movies is We Bought a Zoo. And I love that movie. And there's a particular scene in there where the dad in the movie is talking to his son who has an interest in a girl. And the dad is talking about how when he met his wife, the mom of his son, he met her and saw her. And he said, if I could just find 20 seconds of insane, ridiculous courage, then I would be able to talk to her. And I've often used that little tidbit for me. I can do anything for 20 seconds. And when I've dealt with conflict and had to have those brave conversations, I tell myself, Lance, just exercise 20 seconds of insane, ridiculous courage. That helps me. That little nugget helps me make a commitment before the Lord to face and deal honestly, lovingly, sensitively, and decisively with conflict. Number two, get all the facts. I can't amen that loud enough from Dave. Get all the facts. So much of our leadership when we deal with conflict is we're dealing with one side of the story. And there's multiple sides to a story, multiple perceptions and perspectives and emotions and people involved usually. And you need to make sure you get all the facts. So listen well, ask good questions, have an assertive and loving tone when you're communicating, and be a good listener. Do good reflective listening. We've talked about that so much on this podcast. You can listen to that. Also, make sure you clarify in getting all the facts. What is the goal? And communicate what you need and discover what others need. So you get all the facts of how things are going down and what is needed. Number three, be prepared to confess and ask for forgiveness for whatever part you contributed to the mess that has been made. Simply do not apologize. Ask for forgiveness. An apology is good and it is so helpful, but make sure you actually ask for forgiveness. If a relationship has been violated or broken, forgiveness is what you need to rebuild it. So offer an apology, that's fine, but go beyond that and literally say, would you forgive me for what I've done? And don't be arbitrary and generic with it. Hey, for whatever I've done, would you forgive me? Own it. Fight for clarity and specificity and be very specific about what you're asking for forgiveness. confess your sin, and then consider the root of why what you contributed was contributed. Maybe there's an underlying fear, an underlying wound or trauma in your past, or maybe there's an underlying insecurity or anger or mistrust. Consider getting to the root of why you did what you did that contributed to the mess in the relationship. And make sure you look people in the eye when you ask for forgiveness. And don't make light of it. Look them in the eye and be sincere. Number four suggestion from Dave Kraft is to do this privately. And I would really echo that. I think that's so important. The one caveat I would add to doing it privately is that if there's a deep level of mistrust in the relationship and you need mediation, then consider having a third party or a third or fourth party there who can help with mediation, who can help make sure that it doesn't turn into a brawl or an argument, and also can help you define a line of accountability for what each person is going to do. So do it privately, but that doesn't mean you don't need to invite a third party in. When you do it privately, be respectful, be honest, and have dignity for the other person. You want to protect one another and protect the relationship as you avoid the mud puddle of false harmony. And number five, I would add, it's not in Dave's book, but I would add, maintain a humble heart. Maintain a humble heart. It takes two in these kinds of relationships. We all speak through a filter and we hear through a filter. And while you can say, man, I'm really being loving, you don't know what filter people are hearing through, and you have to admit that you are also hearing through a filter. And this is why maintaining a humble heart is so important. I can't tell you how many conversations I've been where other people simply haven't owned their part of the mess. And so defensiveness enters into the conversation, accusation enters into the conversation, judgment enters into the conversation. And when that happens, anxiety goes up, fear goes up, and the conversation is not going to be constructive. Maintaining a humble heart says, what can I learn? How did I contribute to this? I want to be quick to confess what I've done. I want to meet the needs of other people. I'm determined to adjust however I need to adjust. So these are a few suggestions from Dave Kraft for how you can constructively be a part of good conflict resolution. Conflict is for the betterment of the entire relationship, for the whole team. And again, let me remind you of Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our words are for the building up of others, not ourselves. And so I want to pray a prayer for you that Dave puts at the end of chapter 7 in his chapter on false harmony. I want to pray this for us today, friends, that you would grow in your area of being really confident and comfortable in conflict resolution, more comfortable than maybe you are today, and that you can actually be confident and you can be skilled in this. And don't forget to check out the show notes for the bonus material from Dave in his chapter. But let me pray for us. Jesus, I confess that many times I am a coward when it comes to dealing biblically with conflict. And I admit it is difficult to trust you with the outcomes of speaking the truth in love. Please help us by your Spirit to be more interested in what you think about this than what others may think, even if I choose to engage and when I choose to engage in necessary confrontation. I want to be more interested in what you think, God, than just what other people think. Help me be able to live with both. Give us, Holy Spirit, boldness to speak out and to build relationships through conflict. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope this has been helpful for you on avoiding the mud puddle of false harmony and actually having constructive leadership in our teams and in our ministries. So I love you guys. Don't forget to check out the show notes available at lancebain.com, or if you're listening on a device, within the description of this podcast. And make sure you hit the PDF on lancebain.com for some additional bonus show notes from Dave and his book, Mistakes Leaders Make. Hey, I can't wait to talk to you again next week on episode number 54.